Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. Glad to be with you tonight, and we're devoting tonight's show to questions from our listeners. Many of you have written in with specific questions. You're also welcome to call in during the show, 1-888-627-6008. And we're here with Tom and Melissa Gould. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and Fran Ginsberg is here. And before we get rocking and rolling, tell us what we need to know, Fran.
All right. Let me rock and roll everybody through the announcements. And always, we want to remind our listeners to check the events page on our website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org, for all the latest events and happenings. Our free events coming up this month, June 9th from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, and that will correspond to 11 to noon Pacific. Our Visionary Explorers group meets online. And then on June 12th, from 6:45 p.m. to 8:45 p.m. Eastern Time, the Afterlife Discussion Group in Cold Spring Harbor, New York, meets. Our annual Summer Grief Retreat is in Chester, Connecticut, and is set for August 17th through 19th. And it's a complete weekend working with Forever Family Foundation certified mediums and experienced facilitators. It is It is deliberately kept small and designed to transform your grief. The accommodations are private. There's no bunking or shared bathrooms down the hall. And the food has been described as locally grown fabulous. Details and registration links are on our website. Make your reservations before June 30th and take advantage of the early bird rates. Registration has also begun for a spectacular weekend in Fort Myers, Florida, this coming November 9th through 11th. Mediums behind the scenes are Afterlife Explorers and Mediumship Convention. Imagine spending a weekend with six Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, along with noted experts on the afterlife. The event features frequent spirit communication, small teaching workshops, and group presentations, all designed to facilitate connections, foster your own communications with spirit, and learn about what happens after death. We also have a lot of fun things planned for the weekend, and our unusual, simple, one low price includes both Friday night and Saturday night banquets with entertainment and spirit communication. So there's no picking and choosing. You just go on the website and check off whether you're a member or not a member, and there's one price for everything. And following in November comes December, particularly December 23rd, when we will draw five winners who will each win a reading with a Forever Family Foundation certified medium in our annual Holidays Past Raffle. It's only $5 to enter. And please, please, please help us keep all of our programs going by visiting our website and clicking on the donation button. It's on every single page. Because of the work we do not receive the grants and funding that all other traditional not-for-profits enjoy. You can also help us pay our bills by participating in iGive.com, Amazon.com, Amazon Smile, and great not-for-profits. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, and we're going to get to as many questions as we can, and let's get right into it. Jeff writes, why do mediums ask if the spirit's name begins with a G or an R, etc.? They don't know the spirit's name, but when that's figured out, they offer up many details about them. I think that's kind of odd. Why don't they just say something like, John is talking to me, and?
That's a really, really, really good question.
Yeah, and I think we've touched on it, you know, in shows before. I think that there's a bit of a misconception about the mediumship communication, that a lot of people think it's like a direct telephone line, you know, is it, you know, so that you're completely understanding. But I think it's almost more like charades, you know, where the medium, the person in spirit is giving signs the best way that they can, through visual, audio, you know, and the medium is interpreting.
I think you also have to add to that description the fact that not all mediums hear spirit or hear every spirit that comes through. So then they're left with just interpreting other sensations like smell and feeling and that wondrous telepathic piece of communication that all of a sudden they know something. They didn't hear it, they didn't feel it, they didn't smell it, but they know something.
Right. You want to weigh in on that, Tom?
Yeah, well, there are certainly some mediums I've seen that do get a name straight out.
True.
Does Harry mean anything to you? And I've seen that. And then, yeah, to your point as well, I know Laura Lynn says she sees pictures in her mind and not necessarily anybody talking to her. And pretty much across the board, mediums have said that they have symbols that they recognize as being one thing or another. So, you know, maybe they can just see a letter J or they see the number 7 and they'll come and say, does the number 7 mean anything to you, the 7th month or the 7th day or something like that? And as Bob says, it's not an exact science to be sure. And so they get what they can get. And then between the medium giving the information and the sitter recognizing the information is how it progresses.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that if it's clairaudience where you hear, that they might only hear, they might not get the whole sound.
Right.
I think one medium had described it from a very interesting perspective. He said, like when you were kids and you used to play in the pool, and you would go underwater, and your friend would say something, and you'd have to guess what they were saying, that's the way that particular medium was describing how you hear spirit. It's kind of gargled because it's traveling through something, and in that case, when you're in the swimming pool, it's traveling through water. So that's why they'll say, you know, it's a G-J-J-J-G sound, because that's what they're hearing. They can't really hear it the way we speak to each other.
And another thing that I recently observed in our January retreat, Joe Shield had a perfect way of showing people what it's like to be a medium. We had a room of about 30 people, and he said, all right, when I say 3, just start talking about anything, you know, about your loved one or anything. And then he counts to 3, and then the whole room is like, he goes, welcome to my world. That's what you've got. The spirits are coming at you.
Right.
All the different people all at once. So it's difficult just to get to your one person you're trying to communicate with.
To sum up, to answer Jeff's question, I think that, as Tom mentioned, we certainly witness all the time, you know, mediums do where they do get exact names, and some names are pretty interesting. And other times, you know, let's say this particular medium doesn't hear from spirit, so it's more of a visual thing. So the spirit then has to project an image, and like we used an example, the spirit's name is George. So he projects an image of George Washington into the medium. I'm seeing George Washington. Was your loved one George, right?
Yeah.
What if the loved one's name was Vishnudad? You know, how do you project?
Well, if he said your loved one was President of the United States. it's all in the interpretation. It's my point.
Right. Okay, so we're gonna get to a lot more. We're gonna get our first break out of the way, and then we're gonna go right back to the questions. So stay with us, and be back in a couple of minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.kamlak.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love Knows No Death. Truer words have never been spoken.
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world, but for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential, and research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. We're taking your questions tonight. Let's go to another one. Debbie writes, is it in the realm of possibility that I could see my son who has passed? If so, how would I go about trying to make this happen? Well, I guess Debbie doesn't know a lot about what we do, but we do talk about this a lot. I guess the answer is certainly it's in the realm of possibility, and certainly your son would like nothing better than to make contact with you. And maybe you don't have to do much to make it happen, just to be open to the fact that it can happen and let him come through. But there are other things that we talk about that you can do. And besides going to a medium, I mean, you can do meditation, you can quiet your mind, you can any number of things, you know, that we talk about. But I think trying to force it, right, is what when people get into trouble.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. And we do exercises at our retreats to try to enhance the possibility of getting dream visits. Dream visits probably is the most common way that people can speak and see their loved ones. It does. That happens. I've had that happen. I know my mother actually saw my father kneeling by her chair. That's something that I've never experienced, but that does happen also.
Not in a dream.
Not in a dream.
Right.
We were just on break talking about Dr. Mo Hanna, who will be our keynote speaker at the upcoming retreat, and she is licensed to administer a treatment where it induces after-death communication. That is something I haven't experienced yet either, but it's had some remarkable results with veterans and that sort of thing.
Right. Here's a question that I think is important. Talking about his loved one that makes occasional happenings, as he describes it, the question is she there all the time in our house knowing everything I think and do? It's not the first time we've heard that. People worry about, do our loved ones in spirit, are they always there, and you know, constantly, you know? And I don't think so. I mean, I think that there's something that people find disturbing about that, or, you know, whatever. I think that if they're in this realm of opportunity and exploration and self-improvement, I mean, that love connection is always there, but there's no need to be attached to the physical world. You know, I think that they're there when we need them, right? I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think we go back to this a lot, is it's hard for people who are not very well versed and exposed to all of the research on survival of consciousness that we are to wrap their heads around the concept that the world outside of the physical world has nothing to do with the physical world. And yet we keep wanting to put the properties of the physical world onto how they're doing, what they're doing, when they're doing, and all that kind of stuff. And the first premise that we have to accept is that there is no time and space on the other side. So if there's no time and space, then you have to accept the fact that they're not constantly watching everything that you do. But the other thing that we do know is that because there's no time and space, they get exposure to things all at the same time, past, present, and future. So when you see that often when they come through a medium and the medium will give them a piece of information about something they observed after they left the physical world that you did in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's because they can access that information and they can be present for those things. And when they are present and they make their souls or their spirit or their personality come into our realm, there are very many people who are sensitive enough to be able to feel that the person's in the room with them without even seeing them.
Yeah. It, you know, another legitimate question that he asks is, do I have to keep up the loving thoughts of her to energize her so she doesn't vanish forever?
Oh.
And, you know, should I do more? Two good questions. I think a lot of people think that way. I guess, you know, my answer would be no. I mean, I think that she understands that you love her, and the love still remains, you know, a conduit, but it's not something that, it's not like this energy field that you have to keep projecting to attract her, you know. So, and as far as, you know, vanishing forever, that's really impossible.
Yeah.
You know, you can't.
Eternal soul.
Yeah, I mean, we're all eternal. So it's just a question of how much attachment that people have to the physical realm and how much you need for them to keep in touch with you from where they are.
Right. So I think
go ahead.
I think he's making reference to the fact that he may have spoken to other people who read someplace that as time goes on, they don't appear to be around as much. And it's not because they're literally not around as much. It's that because, your need for them, mm-hmm. your need to have them around close seems to start to wane a bit, and they can go on with whatever it is they have to do on the other side.
Yeah, and it also brings up a good point in the way that the question was asked, what should I be doing to keep them around? And that's really the crux of a lot of the problems with communicating with the other side, is the fact that we as humans can't do anything. We can't control anything. The only way where things are going to happen for us is when we get out of our own way and we can detach from the situation and basically go with the flow of the energy of the universe. And also in answer to the question, you'll never stop loving the person that you loved when they're gone. You're going to love them until they show up at your bedside and take you home with them. But the love continues. And if you're in the stream of the love of the universe, that's when things are going to happen for you, and they'll be able to do things for you when you don't resist thinking that you are the one who has to control it.
Yeah. I also think that, there's another reason why the communications seem to wane, as time goes on, and that's from the perspective of spirit. They realize that that you'll always be connected, and they realize that they're going to see you again, and they realize this physical existence is just a little tiny blip, mm-hmm. even though we think it's excruciatingly long. Mm-hmm. And so they have a totally different perspective. It's not that important, anymore. So
I think to them, they also understand that we are here. We've incarnated with a purpose. And if we don't get on with that purpose and we spend the rest of our lives wallowing in our grief and going from medium to medium to medium to medium because we need that connection to them, that we're not going to complete what it is we came here for.
Right. Think of it as taking a test. They're standing over your shoulder. They know what the answers are. They could give you all the answers, but would you learn anything? No. So they want you to succeed as Francis in doing what your purpose is,
right.
and sometimes standing back and not being involved directly is the best way for you to progress in your own life.
Yeah, and we're not suggesting that that you ignore them.
Right.
Certainly, a lot of the evidence seems to show that setting your intention and talking to them, not necessarily out loud, but you could, but in your thoughts, it serves as some sort of a beacon or connection. So it certainly doesn't hurt to throw the thoughts out there. But at the same token, I don't think that we have to worry about our thoughts being misinterpreted or harmful to them. They don't think the way that we're thinking here in the physical.
Yeah.
I remember even, thinking that way. Oh, I wonder if my loved one is monitoring what I just said, because she might interpret that I don't love her or something like that. But it's nothing could be further from the truth. They have a totally different perspective, and they know that physical thoughts are different than, thoughts from the spirit world. So what we can come back to more from that. Here's this person writes, I have some weird abilities, but I'm not sure ability is the correct word, as I have absolutely no control when it happens. I can be talking to someone about a subject, and all of a sudden I get these flashes in my brain, almost like a movie on fast forward, telling me what is going to happen with them in the near future. For example, prior to sonograms, I was up at a friend's house whose wife was pregnant, and when I was getting ready to leave, his wife said, wait, before you go, you've got to see the nursery. As I stepped into the nursery, I got flashes of pink and red, and I tell them you're definitely going to have a girl. Another example, a friend in the military was complaining about no way of making chief, as in his career field they were only promoting two or three in the entire Navy. All of a sudden I got flashes of seeing him in khakis, which at the time only chiefs and above had khaki uniforms, and I told them, and I don't know when, but while we still know each other, you're making chief petty officer, and of course both of these things came true. So I wasn't trying to do it, it just happened. So, you know, question is, you know, why does this happen? Why can't I control when it happens? In other words, how could I change this thing that happens to intentionally doing it?
I think some of our people who believe they've helped train our mediums could help train this person who seems to have psychic abilities to harness and develop in a useful way.
And, you know, we've been told that everybody has these abilities. It's just that we have learned ourselves, or society has put a damper on it, and we do not go there, or we're told that it's, oh, it's just your imagination or something like that. So, yes, you have those abilities, and you can develop them. There are ways through meditation and practice. It takes like anything. It's work. We often use the analogy that anybody can pick up a violin and make a note, and maybe even it sounds good, but are you ready to play at Carnegie Hall? No, you're going to, what's going to get you from knowing that you can make the note sound good to knowing that you can play and have control over doing a whole piece of music? And it's, you know, it's the old joke, practice, practice, practice.
I think there's the flip side of that too, is you can practice, 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 and you're still not meant to walk that path. And so, therefore, you won't get a constant flow or a flow of information that's sufficient enough for you to be out there doing what the exceptional mediums are doing. So you have to accept the fact that we're all hardwired with this stuff. It was a piece of our survival equipment before we became an industrialized nation. This was how we got along. And, you know, If it happens, I mean, sonograms go way, way, way back before sonograms. We're talking maybe the 70s or something. So if it's happening infrequently, you can also maybe make the argument that somebody wanted to get the message to this woman that she was having a girl. So some guide or his guide on the other side gave him the image to give her.
Yeah.
You know, that it could, it's not necessarily, because we're hardwired, they can give us these pieces of information here or there. But when you make a commitment to spirit, and you hear this from our mediums, their guides are always around helping them out when they're doing a reading and when they're connecting to the other side. So you know, it you can develop it, but unless you're meant to walk this pathway, it's not going to develop to the point where an established medium would.
Thing that struck me also, you know, when he says, well, why can't I control when it happens? You know, maybe if you try to control it, it won't happen at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe the key is, I know what he means is that he wants to be able to do it on, you know, on a regular basis, like he could just focus and make it happen.
Right, but I think Tom and Melissa are both right. Yeah. If he's really interested in this and he really wants, then get a mentor, take some classes, and see how comfortable you are, and then just go with the flow. If you want to learn, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to learn. We encourage people all the time. You don't need mediums. Go out and learn this stuff yourself.
I think it's more of a case that it is always happening, but the mediums will tell you that they have learned over the years ways to stop it from happening.
Yes.
So it's you know, that's something that evidently, you know, can be learned. Here's a, you know, it's a tough thing, and it has, I guess, more to do with a bigger picture. But, you know, she writes, you know, I can't wrap my head around my son's choosing to be killed by a drunk driver. What about the drunk driver? Now he's looking at years in prison. What's his role in this mess? I mean, referring to the possibility that this was a choice, you know, that the son made, you know, which not everybody, you know, agrees with that. So it brings into, a fate, and do we plan our lives, and you know, and all sorts of concepts. But of course, when you lose somebody in a tragedy, how could they? And especially when we think of physical terms, how could they possibly choose, you know?
Well, they may not have chosen that tragedy,
right.
But
right.
They have completed their work
yeah.
here. We live in a world of happenstance, and things happen, bad things happening all the time. And you hear consistently from the people who have had near-death experiences and come back, no, it wasn't your time. Even
right.
people who have been pronounced dead for hours
mm-hmm.
coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And telling the story that they went, they were greeted by loved ones, and they were told they can't go any further, they haven't completed, they have to go back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the accident per se.
Right.
So she's right. She doesn't have to wrap her head around it. It's not something he actually chose,
yeah.
but he did complete what he came here to do. He accomplished.
And what about the question of what role, you know, the drunk driver played in the big picture? Was there a role? Was there something that he was part of the
son's
plan?
He was just part of the exit.
Yeah.
But
you know,
if he's in prison, he may be learning something in prison.
That's his life path that he needed to learn to understand guilt and responsibility and all sorts
and
of
loss.
Things. You know, and the shift of perspective here is the real important thing is. We're here, we're on vacation or we're on a trip here. We're not home. Home is after the accident. Then we go home. So, you know, are you signing up? Who would sign up to die young? It sort of thing. Well, do you want a four-week journey out and see or do you want a weekend in Vegas? You know, maybe some people say, look, I want to go down back to the physical, but... You know, take me out after so many years. You know, it's, and people think, well, you know, who would sign up to die at all, really? And it's because there is no real. I mean, death is only an opening of a door to go back home.
I think that's our modern day perspective on life. Is that death is something to be avoided at
right.
all costs.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the ancients, and I keep going back to the ancients because that's where they knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's where everything, all the puzzle pieces fitted together. When somebody finished their mission here
yeah.
and they died and they crossed over, there was a celebration for them because they completed something.
Yeah.
You know, and even if you talk about the Tibetan monks, they know when they've completed something. And they go and they walk out into a field someplace, they lay down, they meditate, they cross over.
Yeah.
So, you know, this ancient way of understanding what we're here for makes a lot more sense than the chaos that we live in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, a lot more questions to get to. We're going to go to a short break, so stay with us. We'll be back with more questions in a few minutes.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. We realize that birth
what
and
I
death
say,
are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one. Learning to Dance in the Rain, a true story about life beyond death. When 21-year-old Maya dies in a tragic car crash, her parents begin to experience profound synchronicities, prophetic dreams, guidance from mediums, and the undeniable truth that death is not the end. Lori and Brian McDermott share their story, hoping to help others find strength and inspiration to face whatever storms life may bring. Learn more about this important book at www.learningtodanceintherain.net. That's www.learningtodanceintherain.net.
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org Grief and Loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio, where we're taking questions that you have emailed to us. Also, feel free at any time if you want to send for future shows questions, radio at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, or in case you wanted to call into the show live, it's 888-627-6008. Here's one. It's kind of lengthy. I can't read the whole thing, but it's an important point that we could talk about. She said, a father passed 4 years ago. I saw something I never have seen or heard of before and was hoping someone can help me have more clarity. I often get signs from loved ones and have grown comfortable with it over the years. But when my father passed, it made me nervous because I never had a good relationship with him. Sure enough, about a week or so after he passed, as I was taking care of my mother, who at the time had Alzheimer's, we were standing in the dining room of her apartment. The apartment has a patio that you can see from the whole living dining room area. It overlooks a lake, a pool, another building across, and a parking lot. As I was with my mother in the dining room speaking, something made me stop and look across past the lake and the pool. I saw a light, and it was happening so fast. It seemed as though the light was moving toward us. I was thinking it's moving past the parking now at the pool, now across the lake, looks at my mother's patio on the second floor. Then it seemed like it was in the apartment, and in a matter of seconds, I looked behind us at the wall and saw a ball of light hit the wall and seemed to explode and then disappear. I thought it was just me. I looked to my mother to see if she would react or say something to know if it was just me or if she saw it also, and she turned to me and said, "What was that?"
Wow.
I didn't want to get her upset or make her nervous in her condition, so I said it was nothing, and I tried to change the subject and distract her. Well, I was nervous inside. You know, then, as expected, a few days later, it all started. I would feel a very cold breeze, almost like an ice pack cold. It would be on my arm, shoulder, or back of shoulder. At times and places, it is just not possible with no air conditioning running or air vents in place to feel anything. Once I felt it when it was 105 degrees out with the heat index. I was in the car, and I felt it on the back of my shoulder, and so forth. A lot of things, you know, beds moving. And she writes, "My father was not in my life as he was alive and has caused a lot of pain to me and my mother my whole life. I'm still feeling now from what he has done when he was alive. About 6 months ago, I just lost it and started yelling to leave me alone. I don't want him in my life. Leave me at peace or as much as possible from his actions. So the question is, what can I do? Why won't he leave me alone? He was never around as a father. He made it difficult for me as I took care of my mother. He was a narcissist and so forth. I just want to be set free." Now, the way I read this, I mean, obviously, the father did a lot of harmful things in the physical. He was not a nice person, caused lasting physical damage. But surely, he has a different perspective for where he is now. And I would say that you're interpreting all these things as being harmful or mean-spirited, when in fact he may just be trying to get your attention to renew the relationship or to tell you that he loves you. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you're right. The feedback and the data shows that when they cross over, they do have that perspective of love and compassion. That's the environment in which they're living in. Now, there are people who were horrible people who have crossed over, and we know that there is some sort of a hierarchy of enlightenment on the other side, so those people of like mind are together. So if he really was a horrible person in the physical, he has a lot of amends to do while he's on the other side, and one of those includes learning how to apologize. And depending on somebody's cultural, religious, or even just TV-oriented version of how the world works influences how they perceive spirit when they come through. So I agree with you, Bob. I think that he's trying to get through. We don't know if she's gone to a medium or not, who would be able to interpret this and make the connection for her. But it does seem like he's just trying to get through.
Well, there is an interesting other part of this, and which I'll just summarize. But and I would agree with you. Some of these things that I just read, a ball of light, right?
Yeah.
How do you manifest when you're in spirit? You know, with energy or light so often, and a cold breeze or a pat on the back. I mean, that these are all common things for people trying to get your attention.
And if he were a narcissist, he's using some pretty dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely. But the other thing that she went on, and I can't read it all, but she mentions that she happened to call in during mediums and messages. And the medium that was on, she mentioned, actually it was Neil Zapowski, and he was doing some readings, they weren't, and some of the people were not recognizing, you know, any information. Now, she goes on for a page here of every single thing that he said was an exact hit for her.
Wow.
You know, she was on hold during this whole time.
Yeah. So, the question is, I just thought that was interesting because that's not the first time certainly we've heard of that. You know, I think, Tom, you mentioned all the spirits, like Joe Shields saying, talking at once. And
right.
So, you know, maybe you were next in the queue, you know, and
there's one other thing to consider. I mean, even when Dr. Beischel is doing her experiments with triple blind, quadruple blind, where nobody knows who the sitter and who the... And very often you get these drop-ins. You get a spirit that has nothing to do with the experiment or the person that's being read, but needs to get through and has some sort of relationship to the circle of what's going on there, and that's their entry point. So you know, there's that to consider as well. So here he's got to get, he's trying everything to get through, right? She's on hold. And he figures, all right, I'm going through. Here it comes. So I would say she got herself evidential information.
In fact, it's so common that the mediums have a term for it. It's called piggybacking, where they could be reading somebody else in a group situation, and yet somebody 3 seats away is getting the message that they're supposed to be getting. And it seems clear with how despicable this person was in life, how desperate he is to, now that he's seen the light, yeah, literally, to say, no, I'm so sorry, that wasn't how I should have been at all, and I've hurt you, and I can see that I've hurt you. So, I'm sorry that, you know, shouting go away doesn't work. Supposedly, that's what mediums do, is they just flat out, in a stern voice, say, okay, listen, I'm a medium. Yes, I'll take your calls or your messages, but not now. You know, you have
to work. Think in her situation, it's different. I mean, it's so desperate to make amends.
Yeah.
And you know, it's not like it's a medium who's going to say, okay, I'm going to shut down now and you can't get through.
Right.
You know, she's physically opposing him being there, and,
right,
and he just feels so compelled to fix things.
You know, if it can give you any comfort, as we have talked here, is to know that he is not the person that he was anymore.
This is something that Denise wrote, and it's something that anybody who has suffered a significant loss can relate to. I mean, it's heartbreaking to read, but, you know, she writes, my 50-year-old husband died suddenly while we were on vacation in Bermuda with our 3 young daughters. Having a very hard time, cannot wrap my head around how he could be talking to me 1 second and collapse the next. It happened so fast, I never felt so out of control. You know, I've been on an emotional roller coaster ever since. I joined the bereavement group, and I'm in counseling. And how do I go on with my life? I hate my new life. Okay. So, you know, first I would say, you know, we're so sorry for your loss, and what you're going through is something that many people go through. You know, people say, it's often, especially when there's a sudden illness or an accident, how could it be? It's just, you snap your fingers, a blink of an eye, they're here 1 minute, they're gone, and it's not possible. And it takes a really long time just to acknowledge the fact that they're not there. And yeah, you are in a new life that you hate, and it's not the life that you wanted, and it's certainly not the life that you had, and you'll probably never be that person again. But the good news is that when you come to the realization that he still survives and he's still going to be part of your life and you're still going to see him again, eventually it becomes just a little bit of light that comes in, and you can grow.
Can I just
suggest
something?
Yeah.
Not a remedy, just an observation.
Right.
That the reason it's so hard for all of us when we have these deaths in our lives is because they are still here, and we're feeling that they're still here, and their presence is still there because they know how much we need them, and they know how much we're struggling, mm-hmm. and that's why you keep asking the question. I don't get it. I can't go on because he's not physically here, but there's that sense that he's still here. So that's what makes it so hard to believe, is because you're not seeing him. But there's something that tells you that they're still there.
Right. Right. Before we run out of time, let's take a phone call.
We have Charles on line 2.
Hello, Charles. My fiance passed away in 2010. Not long after, I have some cats, and not long after she passed away, I feed my cats twice a day, and I was gathering their bowls at the night, and then I couldn't find one of the bowls, and I was looking everywhere. I was looking under furniture thinking maybe the cat pushed it over that way it was eating or whatever. And jokingly, I said, Karen, if that was you, I want that bowl in the kitchen floor in the morning. And kind of chuckled a little bit, went to bed, and when I got up, I'd even forgotten about that. Walked into the kitchen, and I bet you if you measured, it would have been center of that kitchen floor. How did she hide that from me, and how did she put it there?
I love it.
Well, first, how cool that you got, you know, such a sign. And I assume there was nobody else that was in your house that could have put it there.
Oh, I live by myself.
So this is something that we see very often. It's a common form of after-death communication. You know, it's really psychokinesis, the ability of mind to affect matter. And she still has a conscious mind, even though she doesn't have a body. And, you know, it's the same principle when people can do distant healing and move things and mind-to-mind communication. So it sounds bizarre, but they do have ability to manifest things. They can make things appear that didn't appear before, and they can move things. How many stories do we hear? Somebody puts down a necklace, and then, you know, they turn around, and the necklace is another, 3 feet away from, you know, from where they put it. So I would just embrace it and thank her.
Well, I love it.
And ask for more. And I like the way that you asked and you received. So.
Yeah, that's true. It was awesome. It was. I'm getting chill pumps even thinking about it right now. It's the most awesome thing she did. I asked her one time to turn a light off if she was there, and the light immediately went off, you know, beside my computer. And all. So,
and the best thing, and the best thing of all is that that's her way of letting you know that she's still around and she's still okay and she still loves you. So.
And she's taking care of the cat.
And she's taking care of the cat.
And I have two of her cats. When she passed away, I have two of her cats still alive with me now that were hers. And I just love them to death, even that much more knowing it was something she loved so much.
Well, we're so sorry, but we're so thankful that you called in and shared, Charles. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. We've got to ask our listeners to please join us in our healing energy circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Robin Murray, Joanne Gerber, Diane Archangel, and Marianne Pierzga. Now let us as one consciousness give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.